You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're talking about this scathing report that showed the Wisconsin National Guard mismanaged investigations of sexual assault and harassment, violating federal law, violating Defense Department policy. We saw that Major General Donald Dunbar resigned Monday, hours before releasing this report from the National Guard Bureau's Office of Complex Investigations. Are you part of the Guard? What do you think of the investigation's findings? Do you have a family member or friend who serves in the military? What have they said about the treatment of men and women in uniform? We're at 800-642-1234 to join in the conversation. Caitlin Farrell is a public affairs and investigative reporter for the Cap Times in Madison, and she's been covering sexual assault and harassment allegations in the Wisconsin National Guard over the past year. She's also looking at the National Guard system as part of a 9-month journalism fellowship at Marquette. Caitlin, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So we saw that the chief, the head of Wisconsin's National Guard, resigned Monday after this investigation found the Guard violated, you know, state and federal laws. Which laws did the Guard reportedly violate?
So the report lays out the fact that the Guard basically, federal protocol for how the National Guard and then both the Department of the Army and the Department of the Air Force, which also has jurisdiction over the Air Force National Guard and the Army National Guard, lays out specific policies and procedures for how sexual assaults should be, you know, tracked, how they should be acknowledged and responded to and then investigated and later dealt with. There's a whole federal process that lays that out. And although the National Guard is a state entity, it's still bound to follow those protocols by the Army, Air Force, and the National Guard Bureau in D.C. And so this report largely found that Wisconsin just really wasn't doing that. It had its own internal system for investigating sexual assault allegations, and it wasn't properly tracking them, managing them, or uploading them into a centralized Department of Defense database, which was a key reform that Congress mandated a few years ago so that the military broadly could kind of understand and be able to track this problem more. So that was the big thing. There are specific guidelines for how the state should be doing that, and Wisconsin was not.
So this report is pretty deep, this report that came out, talking with dozens of Guard staff members and more than 1,100 pages of documents. What did we learn that this 88-page report, really concluded?
Well, like I had said, I think one of the biggest findings was just understanding the way in which Wisconsin was investigating allegations of sexual assault. As I had reported in the past back in May and then had reported kind of just before the report was released earlier this week, I had spoke with several victims who had experienced this problem in the Guard, who had problems and felt like their concerns weren't really dealt with properly as victims and had concerns about the way that their cases were investigated, particularly because, you know, the National Guard is a command entity, and though they're, you know, Guard officials can shift between being on state orders or on federal orders, at the end of the day, the Adjutant General, who resigned earlier this week, is the head of all of that. And so there's a big concern among victims that I spoke to that they weren't easily able to get an independent review of their cases. And so the report confirmed a lot of what I had reported regarding that. And also just that though the Guard, in some cases, technically notified local law enforcement, the law in Wisconsin states that the Guard should involve local law enforcement if they hear of a sexual assault incident. But in the case of Wisconsin, the local law enforcement was largely boxed out, and investigators internally were attempting to do criminal investigations into this issue. And so I would say those are some of the, you know, those are the big takeaways, just that they were keeping everything in-house. They didn't properly track and report the assaults. The concern for victims' wishes often was not a part of the response. And they also noted that at the end of the day, you know, sexual assault prevention and training programs in the military and in the Guard are supposed to be a pretty robust, program that that it should be implemented and be widespread throughout all of the units in the state. And it, the report really mentioned, too, that there was just one person tasked with dealing with this issue largely for the whole state. It was a skeleton program, you know, not really fully funded. And so it had noted that while there were Guard officials that really had wanted to do the right thing, there just wasn't the resources.
There wasn't the infrastructure there. And we talked with one of the Wisconsin National Guard's victim advocates earlier this year who defended the services and care they provided to victims.
Most of those people who do that they seek that position because they're very passionate about the topic. So we always know that our service members who come forward are in excellent hands because there are a lot of really great, passionate people that are in our program.
And that was victim advocate Amber Garfoot. Caitlin, how did investigators grade the Guard's victim services?
Well, so the report did acknowledge, like Amber said, that there were good and passionate folks in the Guard who and Amber's right, who do get special training in these positions. The report acknowledged that those people did exist, but said that because of the magnitude of the issue, like I had said, you know, one person or two people just were not adequate to fully respond to this issue and run the whole program themselves. I think the report noted that, you know, a sexual assault response person is supposed to be really focused on the victim's needs and what they wanted. And in Wisconsin, that position ended up doing investigative work as well, which the report noted that it thought was a conflict of interest. And so I think it's, you know, it was more, I think the report noted a real, you know, and obviously it I think speaks to the fact that the Adjutant General resigned earlier this week, but speaks to, I think, a leadership management issue at the top. So while there were folks, you know, maybe within units who really cared about this and wanted to do the right thing, at the end of the day, it wasn't a priority at the top to give this type of program the funding and resources it needed to be implemented, you know, effectively, and moreover, to follow proper federal protocols for how this should be done.
Talking with Caitlin Farrell, she's a reporter for the Cap Times in Madison. She's been covering sexual assault and harassment allegations in the Wisconsin National Guard. You can join in. What do you think of the Guard's handling of sexual assault and harassment cases? Are you an active duty service member, or have you served in the past? Do you have concerns about sexual misconduct in the military? We're at 800-642-1234. There's a line for you to join in. Email ideas at WPR.org. Caitlin, why did Major General Donald Dunbar, the head of the Wisconsin National Guard, why did he maintain that the Guard should handle these cases internally and not, you know, as you say, and box out state law enforcement and federal oversight?
So the report notes that Adjutant General Dunbar did this in part, it states, because of what it said was, quote, a unique interpretation of federal and state policies. And so, you know, according to the report, Dunbar, I think, you know, sincerely believed that ultimately it's the state has prerogative to do what it wants in these cases. I mean, one of the sort of interesting yet complicated things about the National Guard as an entity is that it's both wholly a federal and a state entity. At the end of the day, Governor Tony Evers is the commander in chief. Soldiers become federalized, which means they can be deployed overseas and become full-time Army or Air Force members, and then they're not under the purview of the state. And so kind of the tension between, you know, where the authority lies there, and who Dunbar ultimately should answer to, I think became a point of tension there. The National Guard Bureau, which is a federal administrative agency based in D.C., and their officers, their investigators are the ones who wrote this report, feel that although the National Guard is a state entity, there are still protocols that need to be followed that they lay out. And Dunbar, I think, in some instances, just straight up disagreed with that. And so we saw, you know, I had reported some issues with the Department of Justice as well earlier last week. And it talked to, you know, there was a line in an email from a former DOJ employee who had noted that the National Guard Bureau was on the back of Dunbar. trying to get him to comply with these things. And so I think that kind of speaks to it. You know, they wanted to, they wanted more oversight here. And I think there was tension between Dunbar not wanting that.
How has Major General Donald Dunbar responded to the investigation's findings?
So he, my understanding is that he was briefed on the contents of the report over this last weekend. Governor Evers called him then Monday morning. I think prior to that, he put out a statement before he resigned, acknowledging that he had gotten a report and that he was committed to implementing all of its 21 recommendations. But then later that morning, we were told by the governor's office that they did ask for his resignation and he resigned. And so, you know, before he resigned, he acknowledged it and said he'd implement it, but now he's out. So.
And how has Governor Evers explained his decision to ask for Dunbar's resignation?
You know, in some way, the folks in Governor Evers' office had mentioned to us, I think, that the report really speaks for itself. You know, the governor's office put out a press release Monday morning just noting that, you know, he was upset by what the NGB's findings were and, you know, that sexual assault's a priority for him and service members deserve to be safe. And so, you know, his statement from earlier this week just you know, laid out, he said new leadership is needed to successfully implement these reforms. And then he said that, you know, he had asked for his resignation. So Dunbar resigns effective December 31st. And Governor Evers has already chosen an interim officer to serve in his place.
Brigadier General Gary Ebben on a temporary basis. Talking about the Wisconsin National Guard sexual assault investigations, Cap Times reporter Caitlin Farrell stays with us. Guard members past and present, how are you feeling about this 88-page federal review by the National Guard Bureau in Washington? What do you think this means for the Guard and the work it does? We're at 800-642-1234 to be part of the conversation. Back in a moment, more with Caitlin Farrell right here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for a conversation about the Wisconsin National Guard here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. And we're looking at this federal report from the National Guard Bureau in Washington, D.C. that was released this week. The report shows sexual assault investigations violated state and federal law. This report was 7 months in the making based on dozens of interviews with Guard staff and more than 1,100 documents. So what change do you want to see when it comes to how our institutions like the military respond to sexual assault? Where can we do better? What is already an improvement or is going well that you see? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Cap Times reporter Caitlin Farrell has been covering the sexual assault developments in the Wisconsin Guard for the past year, and she stays with us. Caitlin, we heard from Paula Jean in Madison, who tweeted that Paula Jean wants to know what changes the 115th Fighter Wing is making for the victims. What is happening there?
So I guess admittedly, I am, you know, my reporting has not focused as much on the Air Force side of things. Mm-hmm, however, mm-hmm. I can tell you that there's a separate Department of Air Force inquiry going on into the Wisconsin Air Guard as well. This National Guard Bureau report covered both Air and Army Guard, but the Associated Press has been reporting on Master Sergeant Jay Ellis's allegations there that there is some widespread sexual misconduct going on there,
and he told Senator Tammy Baldwin that Air Guard officers had done little to address incidents of sexual assault or harassment. And this was something that came out in 2018, near the end of 2018. So it's been going on for a while.
Right. And so, when his concerns became public there, Senator Baldwin, he had been in touch with Senator Baldwin. My understanding is that at some point, there also was an Air Force investigation that was initiated. I do not think that that's completed yet, but honestly, I'm not quite certain. So mm-hmm. My sense is that is still ongoing. But this National Guard Bureau report does, kind of encompass that issue as well. And, you know, in response to its findings, in addition to calling for General Dunbar's resignation, Governor Evers signed an executive order that requires, that really kind of lays out a plan for the Guard to implement. It lays out a timeline and a plan for the Guard to implement the findings and to really make sure that there's some outside oversight ensuring that they do so.
And so would that entail then executing on what the report recommendations are?
Yeah, yep. So the governor says that first, within 60 days of him signing the order, the Guard needs to come up with a corrective action plan that then the governor will approve. That plan will detail exactly how the Guard plans to implement all of the 21 recommendations in that report. And then they also need to identify strategies to prevent sexual assault, harassment, and other misconduct, including best practices from how other states' guards have dealt with this. The executive order also requires that the National Guard Bureau appoint a general officer that then the governor would approve, who will come to Wisconsin and oversee that implementation. That general is ordered to report monthly to the governor on the progress of the Guard. And so both the implementation and the corrective action plan is set to be completed by September 1st of 2020. Then at that time, so in September of next year, Evers ordered that the National Guard Bureau come in again and reassess the Wisconsin Guard just to see how well it has actually made changes and how effective those have been.
We saw a statement Monday as well from Attorney General Josh Call that the Justice Department is working with the governor to look at appropriate actions. What might the DOJ's role be in responding to this report?
So, you know, honestly, I don't have a lot of insight on that. I think that, you know, as I had mentioned earlier, DOJ sort of became a part of some of the conversation about this because mm-hmm. of an email that was released by the governor's office. My understanding is that NGB, you know, officers found that email. You know, the interesting thing about that is that there had been a memorandum of understanding between DOJ and the Guard so that DOJ would be available to investigate sexual assault cases. But the report itself, you know, notes, and that I had confirmed in earlier reporting too, that both before that memo was signed and after it was signed, DOJ did not actually investigate any cases from the Guard. There had been two informal referrals of cases, mm-hmm. but investigations hadn't been completed. And furthermore, the report notes that DOJ doesn't have the type of criminal investigative capacity that the Guard would require for its type of investigations. And so that's something that actually I'm actively following up on with DOJ. And so, you know,
we'll keep an eye on that.
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
Talking with Caitlin Farrell, a reporter for the Cap Times in Madison. She's also a journalism fellow at Marquette University. We're looking at sexual assault and harassment allegations in the Wisconsin National Guard, a new report that was released this week. Caitlin, earlier this year, the sexual assault response coordinator for the Wisconsin Guard came on our program and said that they reflected national practices and mirrored other states.
95% of our policies, procedures, and the way we operate is in accordance with that. There's very little unique to Wisconsin that you wouldn't see in another state's National Guard.
There's very little unique to Wisconsin. That was Robert Branya. Does the federal report possibly reveal broader systemic flaws in how the military handles sexual assault and harassment cases?
I think it does, to the extent that it reveals a unique system issue with the Guard in particular. You know, as I said before, the National Guard is quite different as far as the ability for the federal government to really know and track the, you know, how sexual assault allegations are dealt with, because it's first and foremost, it came out of, you know, state militias. As the country was forming, because first and foremost, it's a state entity where the governor is the commander in chief, yet it becomes federalized. You know, I think that the report shows a dynamic where, you know, what happened in Wisconsin, as outlined by the report, I think could happen in other states. I think, you know, there is some measure of federal oversight, but again, at the end of the day, right, these are state entities. And so unless the Guard Bureau would come in and do a sweeping, comprehensive review, I think it's challenging, likely, for real robust oversight from National Guard Bureau officials. They just don't have the capacity, I would think, to do that. They have upwards of around maybe 25 investigators that go around and kind of will investigate sexual assault cases from the states. And so to that extent, I think that the report is revealing.
Notable too, that they visited 10 bases, I believe, for this report.
Right. Yeah. Yep. I mean, their review was, you know, incredibly comprehensive. They had said that they said, and other, you know, sources had told me that they made themselves available to any soldier officer who wanted to talk. But at the end of the day, you know, their report found that, in fact, Wisconsin's system, you know, was distinct, and that, you know, it was not in line with upwards of 98% of practices on the federal level. I think there's definitely folks on the national level that can criticize, you know, the military broadly and their handling of this issue. And it's still something that all branches of the military continue to work on and Congress continues to work on. But again, I think that there's a unique dynamic in the Guard because of the nature of its members. Many members only serve, you know, or many members serve once a month. Some end up being deployed either in the state or overseas. And that's much different than being an active duty Marine, airman, or soldier. And so I think requires, you know, a different type of framework for how to deal with this. And I think, you know, and again, I think that, like I said, just kind of want to articulate that the report noted that there are many good people in the Wisconsin Guard that do want to do the right thing. And just there wasn't the framework or the system or the leadership to really enable that to happen at the end of the day. And so hopefully this just helps, makes things better.
Caitlin, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Caitlin Farrell is a public affairs and investigative reporter for the Cap Times in Madison, and she's been covering sexual assault and harassment allegations. And this report that came out, released this week, on the Wisconsin National Guard. She's also examining the National Guard system as part of a 9-month journalism fellowship at Marquette University. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.